Hi, everybody. My name is Joe, and this is the story of how I find hope in Christ after the death of my brother, Chris. I learned about the Lord when I was a little boy attending a Christian elementary school. As a family, we went to a service every Sunday, no matter how hard my brothers and I tried to get out of it. I remember hiding in the closet once, which is ironic considering the main reason I disliked church so much was because I didn't like my church clothes. My mother was very active in the church. From yard sales to being in the bells, she even made me sing in the choir. We moved to Dallas in around 1993 when I was 10 years old. Mom never found us a church to go to. Growing up without Christ in Dallas led me to a destructive lifestyle. Obsessions with money and worldly possessions, drugs and alcohol, and inappropriate relationships with women are some of the sins I found easily here. My older brother Chris, who was also one of my best friends, also fell into this lifestyle. As I was in college, focused on starting my career, I grew away from the drug scene. Unfortunately for my brother, he grew more into it. Life after college was good for me. My career was headed in the right direction, and I was living in the Caribbean. During this time, I believed that God existed, but I was not seeking him, nor did I have a personal relationship with him. Looking back on this life I had, I now see nothing but chaos. Psalm 139:16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. More than 5 years ago, I met a beautiful woman at a friend's birthday party. She's my wife today. Yes. Neither of us were seeking out Christ at the time. She lived just down the street from Watermark, and we would pass by the traffic jam sometimes and wonder what was going on in here that would warrant people parking in the street. I was content to live my life of sin, but she was curious and began attending service. One day, she convinced me to go with her. On the short car ride there, there were many superficial excuses for not wanting to go to a, quote, mega church, assuming smoke and loud music could never please the Lord. Also, that at some point they had asked me for money to pay for such smoke and loud music. Watermark felt inviting, though, and we were drawn to the Lord as we continued coming to church on Sundays. Show up late, miss the music, listen to a one-hour sermon, and check the box. I'm a Christian now. That's what I thought, at least. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Little did I know that while I didn't have a personal relationship with God at the time, he had a plan for my life. My job moved me to San Juan, Puerto Rico, then to Chicago. Finally, I was able to move back home to DFW and spend more time with my family and my girlfriend at the time. On March 27th, 2011, I was back. I spent my first night here at my parents' house with my dad and older brother, Chris. They just got home from South America that day. We had dinner and caught up. I was excited to be home again. The next day, I dealt with the movers at my new condo and the cable guy and all that kind of stuff. I was getting pretty good at moving. After a long day, my roommate and I went to Boston Market, and it was there that I got the call from my dad. Chris hadn't shown up to work that day at our family business. My dad was angry and went home to yell at him, only to find something that would change our family forever. Kicking the brick wall outside of the restaurant, I knew exactly what had happened. I was pissed, and I meant to edit that out. And my foot would hurt for a week. The house I had woken up in that same day was very changed. My brother had passed away at about 4 a.m. that morning in his bed. He had overdosed on a dangerous combination of alcohol and an injection of heroin and cocaine mixed together. Immediately, I assumed a sort of leadership role in my family. The police obtrusively swarmed my house all evening, and the coroner took hours to show up. While consoling my dad, I got my sister on the last flight home from New York where she lives, and it wasn't until late that night that the pain began to sink in on what truly happened, and I cried for the first time. Sadly, Chris had been struggling with addiction for a while, and I had in the back of my mind prepared myself for this worst-case scenario, or so I thought. The next few days were a blur. My mom was still in South America, and I couldn't get her home for two more days. Chris's drug dealer kept texting his cell phone, and I angrily texted him back what I thought about his business. When he called, I even picked up. He was angry and wanted to meet me somewhere so we could fight. Through my anger, I told him that Chris had passed and I was his brother. Apparently, he had heard about me and said he was sorry for threatening a beating. From out of nowhere, I felt compelled to forgive him. And I told him that because Christ forgives me of my sins, that I forgive him for selling Chris drugs, possibly even the drugs that ended his life. I even suggested these circumstances to change his life, and he agreed with me. Colossians 3:12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Grieving sucks, it really does, and I've never really experienced the death of someone so close to me before. Physically, I was affected in many ways. My life was in a winter haze. Sleep was impossible, and I would toss and turn all night. Eventually, that would lead to me sleeping too much, and then I would be really tired. I couldn't remember anything. I lost my car keys so many times that to this day, I still get a mini panic attack if they're not in my left pocket, because that's where I decided, if they're always in your left pocket, you won't lose them anymore. Fortunately, the death of my brother pushed me towards the Lord. I continued attending church, and the message from the scripture spoke to me more and more. One day, the Watermark News had an advertisement for Grief Share, and I wanted to attend. I was scared and anxious when I walked through those doors. Knowing that there would be small group made me really not want to come. I thought to myself, why is Watermark obsessed with this small group stuff anyways? The original plan was to leave when we broke out for small group. However, I stayed, and opening up in small group was invigorating for me. It was the push I needed to get past my insecurities of sharing my personal life with others. You see, I'm actually British, and we don't talk about our feelings or money to anybody. Up until I went to Grief Share, I felt numb about my emotions and rarely talked about it to others. Isolation was, quote, a good way to grieve for me, or so I thought. Or was it just being a jerk to everybody around me? Or was it just both? Even in my family, we were all grieving differently. Without my brother, I had lost the one person I would go to for advice during hard times and good. Journaling in quiet time was something I never did and refused to even try for the longest time. Fortunately for this story, I decided to write down my rock bottom. I couldn't sleep one night, which wasn't unusual. After drinking more beers than a person should drink alone, I decided to clean my room in the dark hours of the morning. Cleaning was another way I tried to deal with my grief, by obsessively trying to make everything around me perfect. While doing laundry, I came across a sweater I'd bought my brother for his trip to South America. I lost it and was paralyzed with grief. Laying on the floor crying, I came to the conclusion that I was 100% not in control of my life. A memory from a discussion with my leader in Grief Share kicked in. It was him asking me the question, well, do you pray? So that night I prayed, and I mean I really prayed. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Praying to the Lord my Father, telling him how broken and lost I really was, it was like a light had been turned on. That night I felt like I finally understood that God wanted a personal relationship with me, and I finally learned the power of prayer. Before this night, one of my preferred methods to deal with my grief was to try to drink it away. Sitting around by myself, drinking heavily while smoking and thinking about my brother felt good at the moment. Following morning, not so much, which helped me to understand why they call alcohol a depressant. I still struggle occasionally with wanting to medicate my stress away with alcohol and tobacco. Instead of isolating, I quickly confess my sin struggles to God and to my accountability partner from my new foundation group. Now I have the experience to know that drinking's not a healthy way to deal with my problems, even as I am tempted at times to do so. Through spending time with God's word, I am continually reminded that He is the main source of healing from my struggles. The death of my brother affects me to this day. I still miss him and even dreamed about him last week. But I have to say his death helped me find eternal life with the Lord, which I am thankful for. I'm also thankful for the people here at Grief Share. Grief Share was good for me and it still is today. It forced me to deal with my emotions after the death of Chris. In fact, I became good friends with Robert Haggard, who was one of my leaders. He even invited me into his community group when he found out I didn't have one. Community went from something I was desperately trying to avoid to something I really look forward to, despite the fact that we used to meet at 7 a.m. on Friday mornings. To this day, I still can't believe I set my alarm clock for my first community group meeting. Without God and the accountability found in community, I would not be on this stage sharing my testimony tonight. In fact, Robert was the pastor who performed my wedding, the same Robert that I met here at Grief Share. A sermon by Jonathan Pecluda here at Watermark many years ago gave me an easy way to remember how to live my new life in Christ. GPS. I'm an airline pilot, and we love to use acronyms, so this was perfect for me. GPS at work stands for Global Positioning System. It's how I navigate across the country with ease. But in my life, GPS stands for go to God, pray through the scriptures, and seek wise counsel. It's simple. Read my Bible, pray to God, and find accountability through biblical community. Sometimes easier said than done. It's how I navigate my life and the decisions I will make tomorrow. This helps me be a better spiritual leader and a husband to my wife. The Watermark website says that Grief Share exists to introduce participants not to a formula, but to the person of Jesus Christ, who we believe is the only lasting source of comfort. For those that have already accepted the Lord into your heart, please continue to lean into him with your grief. If you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior, you are in the right place. We are all sinners here, and Christ died on the cross for all of us. It is through faith alone that we can receive salvation and the gift of eternal life. This room is filled with people that are praying for you no matter what battle is going on in your heart. Assurance of salvation, John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, but will not be judged and has crossed over from death to life.